We'll be dealing with that chapter and also Nehemiah chapter 3. Now, what brought me to this is a rather difficult sermon because I was watching television this past week, and you know they had the debates. The Republican Party has got 8 people out on the stage now, and they had a debate up in Iowa. Did everybody watch that? I watched it several times. Some of you probably didn't. Some of you don't care much about it, but you ought to, because I'm telling you, our country is in the worst mess and it's been in since the history of our country. People do not realize that, how terrible, terrible that our country is in. We are fading. Our freedom is losing every day grounds. We might not be able to preach from pulpits in just a little while. We don't know what's going to happen in our country, but our country is going down so fast, it's changing so fast that you need to understand what's happening in our country today. And I was watching this as they begin to ask the questions of these different people, and it made me think about Nehemiah. And Nehemiah, you know the story of Nehemiah, and he was there in Babylon whenever the Babylonians took that country of Jerusalem, tore down the walls, burnt the gates, destroyed the temple, and carried off the people. Daniel, at the time of Daniel and the 3 Hebrew children, they carried them away off to Babylon because God's people would not heed to God's word, and they would not do what God told them to do. And he says, I'll carry you into the very hot pot of all these idolatry and let you serve all the pre-gods that you want to, if that's what you want to do. It made me think about our nation and what God's saying. If you want these gods of this world, I'm telling you what, I'm fixing to give you the gods of this world, if this is what you want. The same thing happened to the nation of Israel. But you see, God had already prophesied the nation Israel in 70 years they would return back to their homeland. God said they would. So 70 years come up, and Nehemiah was a man that God has put place to carry the people back to that homeland and rebuild that city. For 70 years they've been in ruin. So you know the story that Nehemiah was in the palace there of Shushan, and the word came to him. Some of his brothers had come to him and told him about the walls of Jerusalem, and the gates had burned down. And Nehemiah, as he heard that story and visualized it with his eyes without even going back, of that great country of Israel, the great king, the King David, and the great King Solomon, and all the great kings, and all the wealth and what God had blessed that country, brought them out of the wilderness, brought them through the Red Sea, and they took them out of bondage in Egypt, and he gave them a land that they did not till. He gave them houses they did not build, and gave them vines and orchards that they did not plant, and gave them wells of water to drink out of. They did not dig, and he gives them everything they could. It made me think of America today, what God has done for this country today. He's given us everything. It's from out of God's hands into our mouth today. But yet the nation of Israel, they forgot about God, as our country has forgot about God, and they went their way serving other gods. The nation of Israel had all other types of God. They would not recognize the God Jehovah, what God is the onlyest God. God don't need man's help. So he carried them away into captivity. Now me and Nehemiah, as he heard this and he thought about the great walls of Jerusalem, he began to weep and to mourn because of that great city and what God has done for them. So he went back and he knew that he had to have some great organization. Now, this is the story of the United States that I'm talking about today. And if you watch this debate they had on television, it reminds me of these 10 gates was around that city. And Nehemiah knew that we need some great organization. Now, I think we need some organization in our country we're living in today. And we have to follow the design that our forefathers have set before us. But not only that, you see, we need to fix the damages that's been done throughout the years in our country today. Nehemiah, he built some and repaired some. He repaired the places that he could. He built some places that were new. They had cooperation of the people that went back to rebuild that city and all rebuild that gates and also the walls, and they had unity. And out of this, I want you to understand the spiritual illumination that God shows us today, what the nation of Israel had done, an illumination where we stand at today at the crossroads of this country. And I'm telling you, this is very, very important today to understand what's happening on the political field of our country. I'm telling you to start with, I'm not a Republican and I'm not a Democrat, but I'm the one for Jesus Christ and the righteousness of the Lord. That's what I'm for today. But I'm going to tell you, they are liberal Democrats, and I won't even mention the president's name from this pulpit because he's so ungodly that I will not mention his name from this pulpit. But I'm telling you, if we don't get people to understand what's happening in our country, your children and my children and our grandchildren will not have the country that we have. The first time in the history of this country, the generation that I'm living is also going to go away and leave it worse shape for my kids and my grandkids than ever been before. It's always we left it better. We always left it better. We always want our kids to have more and more. They're going to have less, and they're going to have a less country than they've ever been before. If people don't wake up, the Christian this day, and understand what's happening today, and it's liberal Democrats, liberal people that wants everything for nothing. They want the working people that's working today to pay their way and to give them everything. Now, around that forum, we have all these people now that's running for president. It's on that Republican platform. Now, out of them, we find out that there was eight of them. Now, they 10 gates in Jerusalem at this time, at Nehemiah's day, these 10 gates. Well, as you see this on television, this Iowa caucus, they call it, Iowa debate, of these eight Republicans, they have one person that wasn't there, planning on entering into the race, a very good man, Perry of Texas, a governor, and also Sarah Palin is supposed to get in. That would make 10. These debates. Well, all these debates, as you look at it, we see it's exactly what old Jeremiah saw. Every one of these people represents a gate. I tell you, they've been broke down in America, just like the gates of Jerusalem is broke down. And these commentaries, they ask him different questions. Every one of them has some like a different question. Some of them, they ask two or three of the same questions. But it's talking about the same thing. The gates of our city, and I'm going to tell you, the walls of our country have been broken down, and they had the right answer. Every one of them had good answers. I don't want to say which one would win, but everyone had good answers. They had answers to the problem that we have in our country today of people to understand. And as you go around the 10 gates, you go around these eight gates, and if you would listen to what they were saying, if you would listen, they got the answers to a lot of our problem in our country if we just heed to what they would ask them. Now, the problem that we know, sir, today is so complex that no one person has the answer. I mean, our problem of our country and our problem of our world has grown so big that not no one person has the answer of all these complex problems, much less the answer of the world's problem. But I'm going to tell you, this world is looking for a man. This world is looking for a man, and the United States is helping them. We're looking for a man. We're looking for a person. This world is looking for someone to bring this whole world and to bring this country under one world leadership, and that man is called the man of sin, and everything is on the stage now, set and ready for that man of sin to take place. Well, who is this man of sin? The Bible calls him the Antichrist because he's against everything that Jesus Christ is far. Well, do you believe that this such and such is that man? I don't know who this man going to be. The Bible tells us, Christian, we will never know who this man is because the rapture of the church is going to come and then the man of sin will be revealed. I don't know who the Antichrist is. He may be a grown man. He may be a crawling baby. He may be already born or he may not be born, but he may be a grown man ready, already getting ready to take hold of the stages of this country and the stages of this world, and they're ready for the man of sin to be revealed. I'm going to tell you the points are being pointed today at what we call the Great Tribulation. We know the rapture is going to take place first, but there's going to be some tribulation of God people. There's going to be some suffering in this country that you and I know of today. If things don't change, it's coming, and it's coming in a hurry, and it probably will come in my lifetime. You see on television over there in Europe where they're having this demonstration in the streets of burning and the robbing. I'm going to tell you what, that's coming to the United States of America, and it's coming fast because people believe that the government owes them everything. They believe the government owes them their education, their health. They believe they owe them their housing, their food, and everything, and their education. And if they don't get what they want, they see the people that have money, and they're going to take it away. I'm telling you what, they're coming to this country because of unrest, because people believe they ought to have a handout. It's a socialized government what's trying to be pushed on us right now, where part of the people works and pays for everything that other people don't work for. And it's called socialism, and that's exactly what the president and the Democratic administration is trying to push on this country. It's socialism, that the government takes care of everything. And everything the government, if the government can give you everything, it can take away everything that he gives you also. And you better remember that. Socialism is spending somebody else's money, and it's all right until the money runs out. And that's what's happening over there in England and Europe, and that's exactly what's going to happen in the United States today. And they ask these people these questions, and they're so complex. But you see, the man of sin is getting ready to take over. Each one of these gates and each one of these different questions was asked them. Each person on that platform, they had a different answer to build that gate up in our country that needs to be rebuilt. All these gates were important. All of them have the application to our life. And they need to rebuild these walls and rebuild the gates of our nations and our family and also of our church. And they talks about the walls. But I want to tell you one thing. It's just like the day in Nehemiah's day. If we could put all these answers, all these good answers to these people, and we collect all of them, put them in one pot, you see, there's still something wrong. Nehemiah's day, they understood. And they're standing here now in the 8th chapter of Nehemiah. And I want you to understand they was already finished with all the walls. They was finished with the gates. But they was something that was desperate missing. And the same thing today. If we could take all the answers of all these people on that platform, some good, solid Christian answers, and put them all together, it would be the same it was in Nehemiah days. The walls would be finished. But something is wrong. What goes on the inside is more important than the gates themselves. And I'm going to tell you, it's just like this church here today. We about got this church paid off. But it's more important than what goes on inside this building and then this building itself. It's more important what went on inside the walls of Jerusalem than it was the walls itself. And I want to tell you, it's more important what goes on inside of America than the walls and support that we have to keep people out. It's what we have on the inside of America that counts, because Roman fell from the inside. And I'm going to tell you what, the United States is doing the same thing. We're going to fall from the inside if we don't get our hearts straightened out with God. And they knew that there was something missing, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but Nehemiah and Ezra the scribe, they knew there's something missing. Now they got the walls up that the enemy couldn't come in. They got the gates real built that they could not open the gates any time they wanted to come in, but there was something desperately missing. Oh, if we could just bring back all the answers of the Republican put out. Yes, if we could have a smaller government. Yes, if we could take all these things. But you see, if we could get all these things infabulated into our political system and get this into one man to be a leader of our country, but I want to tell you, there would still be something drastically missing in our country today. And I want to tell you what it was in Nehemiah's day, and it's the same thing today. It is the Word of God in the hearts of God's people today. It's the Word of God. In chapter 3, I'll go around these walls, and I just want to brief you as they asked these questions of these 8 people. And there was 10 of these gates in Jerusalem at that time, and there was 8 people on that stage last night. I just want to go around these gates for just a moment, and this is just my introduction, because when I get through, I want to preach these 5 things: the hunger of God's Word, the hearing of God's Word, the honor of God's Word, and the handling of God's Word, and the heeding of God's Word, if I get time. I don't have but an hour and a half, but I'll do the best I can. Now, the first thing is the gates in chapter 3 that you'll find out. The first gate, when Nehemiah went around this gate, was called the Sheep Gate. The sheep gate where they brought the sheep in for sacrifice. And they asked the question on the platform now about life. And you know what they answered? Life begins with conception. Life begins with Jesus Christ. This sheep gate and the sacrifice, that's what we need to understand. They answered correctly. They answered about abortion. Should we have abortion? They answered no when they asked this question, because life starts at conception, because life begins at Calvary, Jesus Christ. Amen. They made amen for that. Our nation needs to understand what's on the inside of our heart, not the laws that we make today. But they made an A for effort there in the sheep gate, that life starts with Jesus Christ. Well, how about the fish gate? They asked him about the fish gate. What is the fish gate? Well, they talked about our borders in the fish gate. Jesus Christ says, "Follow me and I'll make you become fishermen of men." He's talking about soul winning today. And they talked about the borders of our country in Mexico, what need to be due. We need to stop the people coming into our country. Illegal is exactly right what they said, but more so than that, we need to be there at the border with the Word of God, convicting them, telling them that the Word of God will convict them, that they need to be saved and they'll be Christian people. I'm going to tell you what kind of nationality comes in our country. If they're saved, know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, I guarantee you we won't have as much trouble with people if they know Jesus Christ. And we ought to be down around our borders, but our Southern Baptists are not down at our borders. I'm going to tell you, a few churches are down at our borders, but I'm going to tell you what people need to understand. Just because they're Mexicans, they need the Word of God and they need to be saved just like we do today. God loves them just as much as we do today. So he asked them that question about our borders. Yes, we need to secure our borders, but more so, we need to have people that's ready to soul win when they come across our border. Well, how about the old gates? They asked them the question now about our dependence on Social Security and welfare, and depends upon our government, and depend upon our education for the government, and our medicine comes from the government, all our welfare from the government today, and our houses from the government today, and our food from the government today. But you know what Jeremiah says at 16 and 16? This is called the old gate in the days of Jerusalem, the old gate. It says, now the Lord said, stand ye in the way, see as for the old path, where is the good way? Walk therein, you will find rest for your soul. It's called old-fashioned believism. To believe that you need to work for what you get. It says in the Word of God, if they don't work, they don't eat. I'm going to tell you, we need to get back to what God said in His Word. The old-fashioned work ethics today. We need to work for what we get and quit depending on someone else sending our check to us in a mailbox and everything else that we get. He said, depend on the old path. And I want to tell you today, whatever you think it is, the old way has been better than any new thing that I've seen come out of Washington in a long, long time. Get back to the old path. Get back whenever people took care of each other, and get back when family took care of each other. And the answer is correct today. Quit depending on the government. We don't need a socialized government. We need to depend on ourselves today. And then the Valley Gate. What is the Valley Gate? That tells us about the growth. They asked them about the growth of our country and how our country is so sluggish in our growth and there's no job today. But the Valley Gate tells us about the process. It tells us about the pride. The Valley Gate, that means to bring low. I'm going to tell you, we need to get rid of our pride. The enemy of progress in a Christian life is pride. We need to get off our pride and start working and doing what we're supposed to do. A lot of people, they won't take a $50 an hour job because they think they need a $60 an hour job. But I'm going to tell you, a $20 an hour job is better than a $5 an hour job. And we need to get back to the old path. And we need to lower our pride today and get back to business, what God says. Get to the Valley Gate and understand to humble ourselves. And He says that God will lift us up. Well, how about the Dung Gate? Well, the Dung Gate is where they brought the dung. You know why that is? Out of the city. It's the garbage and everything out of the city come out through the Dung Gate. Well, they asked them the question about homosexuality and should gays get married. And most of them said, no, they ought not to get married. No, that ought not to happen. And that's exactly right. But I'm going to tell you, this Dung Gate, we need to understand it's about time of our country to take the garbage out of our country. And I'm going to tell you, homosexuality and gay marriages across our nation ain't nothing in the world but just garbage in our country this day. I'm going to tell you what homosexuals need to do. They need to get saved and they won't be a homosexual anymore. We need to take the garbage out of our life. We need to take the garbage out of our country and stand up and let people know that yes, we love you as sinners. Yes, you're welcome to this church or any other church if you're a gay or a lesbian, just like any other sinner, and me too. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Your lifestyle I don't agree with. I don't agree with alcoholics. I don't agree with drug addicts. I don't agree with different type of lifestyle. But I'm going to tell you, God loves us all. But I'm going to tell you, I don't agree with a homosexual lifestyle. And I'm going to tell you, God says one woman and one man is marriage, and there's no exception to it whatsoever. Get back to the Word of God and take the garbage out of the Dung Gate. And they said, that's what we need to do. Amen. You made another A for effort of that. Well, how about the Fountain Gate? Well, the Fountain Gate is talk about this religious world. They ask them about religion, all type of religion of the world. Well, it's all right to have all different type of religion, as long as you don't push your religion on me, and I won't push my religion on you. It just in the name of God, you just say, in God we trust, God will take care of the rest of it. Bring out the Word of God. Take your Quran, wherever it might be, and take the Word of God. I'm going to tell you what, you won't have to defend the Word of God. You just read the Word of God. It'll do the cutting itself. It's alive, and it'll cut. Let them read the Quran wherever they want to, but let the the Word of God there be open. Don't just close up the Word of God and say you can't have the Word of God. You bring the Word of God to any debate and just read from the Word of God. You don't have to defend this book. This book stands alone in itself. I'm going to tell you this. This Valley Gate is the Word of God. It's there and it's there to stay. Well, how about the Watergate if we go around this city? Well, the Watergate if we go around this city, that is the onlyest gate in Nehemiah's time. It did not need repair. The Watergate stands for the Word of God. It did not need repair. All the other gates need to be rebuilt or either repaired, but the Watergate did not need to be rebuilt or repaired because it stands for the Word of God. In Psalms 119 and 87, it says, "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Man will not destroy the Word of God." It stands, and it stands, and it stands. And that's where I'll get my message from when I get through with my introduction. Now, the horse gate. The horse gate, as they asked them on television, the horse gate stands a symbol for war. And they ask about the wars we're having all over the world today, about the wars. Well, there'll be no peace until the Prince of Peace comes back to settle the wars. They might quit fighting in the place that we're fighting, but there are going to be some other wars come out. There are going to be wars, God said, in rumors of war, but it says the time's not yet. It's coming. There are going to be more wars. So the Valley Gate, you understand, represents the wars that's going to happen in this country. The wars are going to happen this day, and that symbol of the wars. But Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace coming back, and He put an end to wars whenever He comes back. And then we have all the way back around to the East Gate. Now, the East Gate is where Jesus Christ is going to come back to this world. He's coming through the Eastern Gate. Now, they didn't have the answer to the problem of the world. They didn't just ask them the question, do you have an answer to the problem of the world? But this gate is the answer to the problem of all the other problems that they asked him, and all the answers to all the problems that they asked him, and the question. And that is the Eastern Gate, that Jesus Christ is the answer to the world's problems today. Everything they ask him could be answered in the Word of God today, that Jesus Christ is going to come back. And then the 10th gate, Mithkaf is that 10th gate. Mithkaf is a place where they come back after war and replace examination when the troops come by, and they stood at that wall and they watched him come marching in. That's the 10th gate. As we look and we see the marching in of the saints of God. You hear that old song, when the saints come marching in? Well, the Mithkaf, whenever they've been examined, God has examined this world today. He's examined this country today. And I'm going to tell you, He don't like what He sees in this country today. And I'm going to tell you what, one of these days He's going to examine it, and it's going to be the end of it. That's going to be all over with. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to go down. If we don't want to go down, we better get back and repair these walls and repair these gates. God said that we need to repair them. But most of all now, after all this was done, you swip on over to chapter 8 of Nehemiah, and then you will understand that after this was done, after they was finished building, after all the problem they had, the Word of God was what they needed. Nehemiah, the wall's finished and everything up, but there's something that's vastly missing. Now, I'm going to tell you, if we make laws about everything, every answer they said, if you make laws against the homosexuals and make laws against this and laws against that and legislate all these laws and build all these gates back up in our country, I'm going to tell you what, there's something that's going to be missing. And Nehemiah and the Jewish nation knew it right then, and Ezra described, and the people knew there's something missing. And what's going to be missing is the Word of God. There's something missing. They could not get it all the ideals wrapped into one, but if they could, there was something missing. I'm going to tell you, there's something missing today. You know what? There's something missing in most churches today, and that is the Word of God. There's something wrong on the inside is what's happening. We got a beautiful church here, but I tell you, the problem is not with this beautiful building here. We got a problem in our churches. People is not on fire for the Lord. They're not getting excited about Jesus Christ. They don't worry about their family. They don't bring their family to Wednesday night. They care less about the little ones learning about Sunday school. I'm going to tell you something vastly wrong with a church that don't care about their little ones. There's something wrong with mothers and fathers and people that claim to be Christian and have no excitement to be in the house of God, go for weeks and months without entering into the doors. And you ask them, say, where do you go to church at? Well, I go to church out there at Pleasant Hill. Yep, once every 2 years you come out here. Once every 4 years. There's something vastly wrong with a person like that. You know what's wrong with them? It is the Word of God. Either they have never been saved, or they're so backslidden on the Lord, they don't know which way the sun's are shining at when they get up of a morning of the day. There's something vastly wrong when we prepare stuff for the kids on Wednesday night, and mothers and fathers don't see their kids comes out and hears the Word of God. And on Sunday morning, I'm going to tell you, you may not like this, but this is the Word of God. Then what's wrong is something on the inside of people. In Nehemiah's day, they understood there was something vastly wrong on the inside. Now, as we read this verse of Scripture, verse number 1, chapter 8, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the streets that was before the water gate. And they spoke unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord hath commanded to Israel. Thank you for that. You understand that we need today. And the need today is we need the Word of God more than we have ever needed it before. We need the Word of God. So we going into my outline, they had a hunger for the Word of God. They also, there was in their group, they had a wall built up now that the enemy could not get in. They couldn't get over the walls, and they could not get through the gates. But you see, they knew that they had a problem, and the problem is the same problem that we have in this country here today. The problem is on the inside of our nation. We're not worried about the bombs right now. We're not worried about the missiles right now. We're not worried about some other country coming over and taking care of us. But the problem, I'm telling you, is on the inside of our country. And what's wrong with the inside of our country is inside of people's heart today. And even its Christian people today, this was a nation of Israel called after God's own heart. And he picked that nation out. And that was a people who had the problem. They had the Word of God. They knew the Word of God. But yet they have not done the Word of God today. As Christian here, how many times do you read the Word of God? Are you doing the Word of God till you take these five things that God has given us? If you want to set this world on fire, if you want to change your family life, if you want to change your life today, if you want to see God work miracles in your life today, if you want to see this church change and be different than it's ever been before, if you want to see people returning back to the house of God, if you have a hunger for the Word of God, if you have a hearing of this Word of God, and if you'll honor the Word of God, and if you'll handle the Word of God, and if you'll heed the Word of God, it'll produce mourning in your life. It'll produce joy in your life. And I'm going to tell you, it'll produce obedience in your life, and that will change your life. And this nation knew exactly what they needed. It's time for the people of the United States to understand. It's time for Christians to understand. It's time for our church and our church people and the people that saved, not call themselves saved, because there are a lot of people that call themselves saved and not saved. I don't know who they are, but I know one thing. It is time for God's people called by my name to humble themselves and seek God's face. And then he said what he'll do. He said, you start praying. He says, and I'll hear from heaven, and I'll forgive your sins, and I'll heal your land. Folks, it's time for us to get back to the Word of God. It's the hunger for the Word of God. There was a famine in the land at Nehemiah's day, and I'm going to tell you, there's a greater famine today in our country than they ever been before. I know back in the 20s, I see on television sometimes they show back in the 30s, the Depression day, or the soup line, where people didn't have enough to eat, and their soup lines for maybe 100 yards long, 200 yards long, when men could not feed their family, and they didn't have no work. They was looking for a place to work. Anything they could do to make a living, anything they could do to buy a loaf of bread, they were soup lines. They didn't have anything. But I'm going to tell you what, we got a greater famine today than they ever been at a time, what we want to call the Great Depression. But it's not a Great Depression on bread. It's the Great Depression on the Word of God today. There's the greatest famine today that this country has ever seen. Whether you believe it or not, whether the Democrats will tell you not want to change the history, the liberals of this country will tell you this country was not founded on God. You and I, we know different, but we don't want to stand up for what we already know. We don't want to bring back into our families, in our home, and stand firm on the Word of God to see what God will do if people will be ready to stand. I'm going to tell you, there was a hunger for the Word of God, but I'm going to tell you what, there's not a hunger today in our country for the Word of God. God's people called by His name, it claims to be Christian day. There's no hunger for the Word of God. As I said, they go for weeks and weeks and months without turning themselves to the house of God to hear the preaching of the Word of God and to be with God's people. How many people really are hungry this day? Did you come to church today because you was hunger for God's Word? Did you read your Bible this morning? Did you have your devotional time today? Did you pray for this service today that somebody in this service will get saved? Did you pray that lives will be changed and your family need to be changed? There's some needs on your heart today that only God can answer. There's needs seed upon your family today that only by the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit of God can change you today. Did you come hoping and seeking for that blessing of God? There's sickness upon our family. There's sickness upon our churches this day. Do you lift these people up to God in prayer every Sunday and every Wednesday? Do you ask God to help them out? I'm going to tell you, there was a hunger for God's Word at that time. There was a famine in the land. There's a famine in our country today. There are famines in homes today. Right now, there's people that's members of this church are starving to death spiritually because they will not heed to the Word of God, and they wonder what in the world is happening to our country. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to it. We're all going to go down together because it says it's going to rain on the just and unjust just alike. We're going down unless people is called by my name. We're not looking for the drug pusher to get saved. We're not looking for the alcoholics to get saved, but we're looking for God's people to turn from their ways and turn towards God. Do you know where repentance needs to start at? Repentance needs to start right here in this house today. Every one of us today. Don't look down your nose at me and tell me you don't need to repent. I myself is one of the greatest ones that need to repent today. That's what God is looking for among His people. He's looking for somebody to repent and see that they need a change in their life today, because we begin to heed the Word of God, what God tells us to do. You know what it's going to do for us? It's going to cause us to mourn. I'm getting ahead of myself because I don't have much longer. It's going to cause us to mourn. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't mourn over your sins, every one of us today, if you think you're good as you ought to be, if you think you're doing everything that God has called you to do, I guarantee you in the hearts of everybody laid here today, there's something that God has showed you and working on you that you ought to be a better person in Christ Jesus than what you are. You ought to be doing the Word of God that God's already showed you need to do. And I'm going to tell you what, they ought to be mourning. Every one of us today ought to be mourning down here at this altar, mourning at your seats today, mourning for your life. It don't measure up to the Word of God as you claim to be a child of God. We should be mourning. And then after mourning, you see, it brings joy. After joy, you see joy because we have repented that God has broke our heart. He's broke through our old hard soul and lets us understand as we look in the mirror of God's Word and we see the things that God shows us, and we don't look very good when we look into the mirror of God's Word. It breaks our heart. We go into mourning, and then after mourning, we see that the Word of God, 1 John 1:9 said, we confess our sin. He is faithful to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all righteousness. And then it comes joy that God has cleansed us with the Word of God. You can't come and do anything but God to get rid of that sin. You have to repent of your sin. And the problem of a lot of people today is because they have not repented. I'm going to tell you this easy believism we have today. Just believe Jesus Christ and you're saved. I'm going to tell you, Mr. Television, you are a liar. There's more to it than that. You have to repent of your sin according to the Word of God before you're saved. You just can't say a few words and say that I'm saved. It says you must repent. Jesus Christ says you must repent, or all you shall likewise shall perish. If there's no repentance, I'm going to tell you what, there's no salvation. You might be a church member, but many a person has come down this aisle and they have not repented. They said the words right, but they have not repented in the heart, because I want to tell you what true repentance would do. True repentance will bring you back to the house of God, the things of God, the people of God, the Word of God, whenever you're supposed to be here. If you repent of God, you have changed your life. There are change coming into your life. And I'm going to tell you why, they had a hunger for the Word of God this day. Now I'm through with my introduction. Now I want to preach to you. A little boy asked his father, says, Daddy, is this Bible God's book? Yes, son, it certainly is. He said, we better give it back to him because we don't use it. You know what? That's the truth. That is absolutely the truth. Psalm 19:10-11 says, more to be desired are they that gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey and honeycomb. That's God's word. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them is thy great reward. Oh, I'm going to tell you, it's sweet. Do you have a hunger for God's word? I'm talking to you. Do you have a hunger for God's word? Job says in 23:10, he says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he have tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot have held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have abstained the word of his mouth more than necessary of food. He loved it. He said, better than food itself. Better than food. How many meals have you missed lately? How many times have you missed reading your Bible? Psalm 119:162 also says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoils. I'm going to tell you, it's better than any treasure that you'll ever find. better than any treasure. Sweeter as it can be, sweet as it can be. As we see these gates and these walls have been rebuilt, we know they had a hunger for the Word of God. Bring the Word of God. Now we see in Nehemiah, we have the hearing of God's Word. Hear God's Word, verse 2, 3, and 4. And it says in Nehemiah 8, chapter 2, "And Ezra the scribe brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear." That's the boys and girls. That's the boys and girls, your family, your grandkids, and your kids today. That's for Sunday school, and that's for Wednesday night. This is a teaching of the Word of God. And they brought those kids. All of them, it says, could understand upon the first day of the seventh month, and to read therein before the streets that were before the water gates from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all people were attentive unto the book of the laws. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for that purpose. The leaders were right with him. The Word of God was read right there. People came to hear the Word of God from the morning until evening. See, I got a long time to go yet. People were attentive. There was not time conscious. I came to preach this morning, and I trust that you came to listen, but you ought not get finished before I do. You ought not get finished before I do. The third thing you see is honor the Word of God as fast as I can go. Give honor to the Word of God. Verse 5 and 6 of that chapter. Ezra opened the books in the sight of all the people, for it was above all the people, and when he had opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, "Amen, amen," and lifted up their hands, and they bowed their head and worshiped the Lord with their face to the ground. Here we find that the people was enthused about the Word of God. "Well, I reckon I better go to church today. Reckon we better go." Y'all ready? Reckon we'll go to church. Where's the enthusiasm of God's people when it comes time to worship God? I'm going to tell you, we go three times a week out here, not counting our Wednesday night for kids and also for Sunday school. Where's the excitement at this day of all the people? Their hands. Isaiah 40 and 8 also says, "The grass withers and the flower fleeth, but the Word of God shall stand forever." That means it keeps on standing. It keeps on standing, and it keeps on standing. Revival. That great song we sing in our hymn books. "Revive us. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May it so be rekindled from fire from above. Hallelujah like the glory. Hallelujah. Amen." It's about time that somebody said amen. Revive us again. Verse 7, the leaders, the Levites, the scribes, they caused the people to understand the law. The people stood up in their places. In verse 8, it says, so they read the books and the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and the caused them to understand the reading. That's the Old Testament time as we come to Sunday school and our Wednesday night. The Word of God. Listen, there are a lot of churches today, they won't even read some scriptures. A lot of preachers stand up and call themselves preachers, and Mr. Television is one of them. He'll make you think about a lot of things. They won't be no scriptures. You can't learn the Word of God if there are no scriptures. He just tell you what you want to hear, and you feel good about yourself, just like eating cotton candy. You have a mouthful of it, but don't amount to nothing. But I'm going to tell you, he'll make millions over his books and his tapes, and absolutely, he don't tell you nothing. And people will just flock to him by the thousands, the groves, the hundreds, in this big church, and won't have no scripture at all. Because he wants you to feel good about yourself. And people say, "I want to go and I don't want nobody to tell me about my sins. I want to feel good about myself." Before you can feel good about yourself, you need to feel bad about yourself, because you need to repent. And we all need to repent. Famine in the United States and preaching the Word of God. This group calls these people to understand. And then old Timothy says in 2 and 15, "Said to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And I'm going to tell you, they was heeding the Word of God. Heeding the Word of God. As we see the heeded Word of God, and this is verses 9 on through 12. Don't look at your watches. 9 through 12. Nehemiah and Ezra the priest, the scribe, the Levite, taught the people and to all the people that day, holy unto the Lord your God. They mourned. He said, mourn not nor weep, for all the people, they wept. Why? When they heard the word of God, it ought to cause you to weep whenever God pricks your heart. Then they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portion to them who nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites steal all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be grievous. And all the people went their ways to eat and to drink and to send portion unto them, but they have not, with a great rejoicing, because they had understanding of the word of God and declared unto them. Do you understand what God is saying now? Now, when that started off, I'm going to tell you what it did. It produced a transform in your life, and you do all these five things. In that mourning, you see, it produces mourning. It says they mourned. All the people wept with broken hearts. You know what? Before anything can happen at this church, you know what's got to happen? People's got to mourn. I'm going to tell you, they got to be some broken heart. Don't you ever expect revival going to come to Pleasant Hill unless somebody starts mourning, brokenhearted over their sins. I'm talking about God's people. Don't ever expect it to happen, because it won't happen without brokenheartedness. These people was brokenhearted because of their sin. They was brokenhearted. Sin ought to break our hearts. You know what's wrong with us today? Because sin don't break our hearts. Is anybody would stand up here today and say that I don't have sin, that I hadn't sinned this past week? Anybody want to say they're perfect today and they don't sin? I believe I can get you to understand today they're not a person in here that don't need to repent of something in their life, including me of more than one. But I'm going to tell you, until we understand that we need to repent and we need to repent from our sins, oh, there will be no revival. If there's no repentance, I'm going to tell you there's no salvation either. Ezra, he says, now there's a time of the week and there's time for sorrow, time for laughing. He says, stop now. It's time now to get up. Now they reduce the joy. You know what, some, you know, whenever I preach, a lot of times I might make people mad. They won't come back. They cross me out. No, sir, I don't like what he said. I don't agree what he says. They won't come back. But the word of God keeps working on them. It keeps working on them. It keeps working on them. It keeps working on them. And after a while, well, I come back one more time. And then you know what happens? They repent. And then they're sad because they look at their own life. Then after it's all over with, there's joy. You see, the mourning and the joy, and then obedience to the word of God. It produces joy. This golden bricks of joy that I spoke about this last Wednesday night, and it says in John 15:11, these things have I spoken to you that your joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. So we have this joy. Now I'm going to tell you, nothing can strengthen this church or any other church more than your strength in the Lord, and that is joy. Joy is the strength of this church. Love and joy is the strength of this church. Even though it makes somebody mad and sad and then joyful. You know, they don't agree with me. But I'm going to tell you, I don't care if you agree with me or not. You better agree with the word of God. Because it's not me, it's them. You know, it produces obedience. And listen to the last thing, and I'll be through, of obedience. In verse 13 on down. And on that second day, they gathered together the chiefs and the fathers and all the people, the scribes, the Levites, Ezra the scribe, even to understanding of the word of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. And they should publish, proclaim all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth into the mountains and fetch olive branches, pine branches, myrtle branches, palm branches, branches of thick trees, and make booth as is written. So the people went forth and brought them and made them booth, every one upon the roof of his house, and in their courts, in the courts of their house, God said, in the streets of the water gates, and in the streets of the gates thereby. Now you know what happened to this? After we have all this done, they said, all right, go out there and you're going to have a booth. God commanded them to do this. Go out and you know what? Pitch a tent. Make you a booth. What is all this about? It let those people, the nation of Israel, know that they were just pilgrims. This home do not belong to them. Everything God has given them, this land, but you just pilgrims. And he said, you know what? You're going to go make booths this evening. After you have hungered and heard and honored and handled and heed the word of God, after you are mourned and joyed, and then the obedience come. And to understand, you need to understand that you need to make a booth. And this booth is, remind you that this place is not your home called the world. You're just passing through. And they went out there and they made booths. And they had this obedience. And you know what today, what we need? We need obedience. After we do all this thing, there's a famine in this land. And I'm going to tell you, as they patched up on that debate they had on television, Now people had some good words to say. And they patched up all the walls that I could think of. They asked them all these questions. But you see, there's something that's great missing in our country. And that is the Word of God. And it's more important what goes on in our hearts and goes on inside this country than goes on outside the walls and the gates. And that is repentance. If God has called you to repentance today of whatever sin it might be, you say, well, what if I come down there and repent? Well, what if you don't come down and repent is the thing about it is. What if you don't? What if people think if I come down there? What people think if you don't repent? I want to tell you the first thing we need to do is repentance. And I've been studying on this word and I got a lot to say about it. As we come forth now with a song for invitation, it's time for you to do what God has called you to do. I mean, it's time for you, our people. If you want something to change in your family, in your life, you don't know which way to turn or what to do, I'm going to tell you, you need to turn to the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, you believe that God opened up doors that you see, don't see doors, He'll make a door and then He'll open it up for you. I'm going to tell you there's blessings. Now, if you're not saved here today and you need to be saved, you know what? You know how to get saved? You just come down here and I'll tell you. But I want to tell you where we need to start as God's people, just like the nation of Israel. We need to start repentance in our heart towards God and towards God's Word. And get back where God has told us to do in His Word of God. That's what we need to do. And you'll see things change. You were ready to sing that song.